UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, Senator.
Ares 31, me neither.
Or 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And if there was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago.
Or 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. So yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is such.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. Our guest this episode is Raphael, a musician from Florida. His experiences started in early childhood and continue to affect him and his family to this day. Experiences that have involved the tall whites, MIBs, unmarked vehicles, and an insectoid being Raphael calls O. But first, I would like to thank our two newest patrons this week. Hisham from Gloucestershire in the United Kingdom and Mike from New Jersey in the United States. I'm really happy to see that people enjoy the show enough to sponsor it. It's very much appreciated. And if you would like to become a patron for the show, for just as little as a dollar per month, you can help the podcast tremendously. Just head over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. And also, in a few weeks, my podcast's website will be up and running and everything will be in one place. There will be more information relating to the episodes and the guests, and also a section where I can have more interaction with our wonderful listeners out there. And a new part of the show will be for listeners out there. So what I want you to do is, if you've had a strange experience or encounter, record your voice on your mobile phone, it doesn't matter how short or long it is, and email it to me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Now, before we get on with the show, just a quick word from our friend Ryan over at Somewhere in the Skies.
My name is Ryan Sprague. When I was 12 years old, I saw something in the sky that I couldn't explain. And I've been searching for answers ever since. And now, I want you to join me on that search. As part of Entertainment One's podcast network, this is the Somewhere in the Skies podcast. Every week, I sit down with people in all walks of life to discuss UFOs, the paranormal and esoteric, and just plain weird. From the worlds of academia, psychology, theology, science and tech, entertainment and art, and everything in between. We dig deep back here on the ground to find those ever-elusive answers somewhere in the skies. New episodes every Monday available on all major podcast outlets and at somewhereintheskies.com. Remember, keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching somewhere in the skies.
I would like to welcome Raphael to the show.
I
really appreciate you coming on today, man.
I appreciate you having me.
Now, your experience started when 6-7 years old?
Yeah, I would say around 6-7 to be, you know, it's a little of the timeline for me is a little bit, you know, hazy, but yeah, that would be the most accurate.
That's great. Would you like to start there
Yeah, sure. Well, the way that my first experience began was, I'll just give you a little bit of a background. I was extremely scared before all this happened for some reason to sleep alone in my own room. Like, so my mother was gracious enough to allow me to have like a twin bed next to her queen size bed in her master bedroom, because for some reason, I wasn't even able to go to sleep without holding my mother's hand. I was always scared from as far as I could remember to sleep by myself for some reason. And this one night, I'm sleeping in my twin size bed next to my mom's queen size bed. And the way that the room is, there's the door is right at the foot of where I'm sleeping. So I can see the door if it's open or closed or whatever. And I wake up out of my sleep, don't really know what time it is, but I can sense before I open my eyes that there was like this eerie feeling that somebody else was in the room and I was being stared at. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a restaurant eating and somebody's kind of like looking at you and you just get this feeling to turn around and you find somebody staring at you. It was kind of one of those feelings that I had. Like, I just knew that if I opened my eyes, I was going to see something. And sure enough, I tried to wiggle my toes. For some reason, every time I had, like, I woke up out of a nightmare or something happened at night, I would always wiggle my toes to see if I was able to move, because I figure if I'm able to move my feet, then I'm able to run away if there was something in the room. So I've always had that instinctual feeling that before I open my eyes, I'm going to try to wiggle my toes. So in this instant, on this night, I try to wiggle my toes and I realized that I cannot wiggle my toes. So in trying to move my toes, trying to move my fingers, I was just completely frozen in bed. I decided to open my eyes. And when I do open my eyes, the first thing I see at the foot of my bed is the classic 4 foot, 3 foot gray, classic gray, big bulbous head, big eyes, bug-like eyes, kind of like really skinny nose, small mouth. I don't know if it was wearing some kind of clothes, but it looked like it had something on, but it was like almost like its skin, but it wasn't. It was like skin tight kind of clothes. And behind that entity, there was another gray. And in the hallway of the door, because the door was open, there was another gray in the hallway. So there's three grays that I'm looking at. And the minute I open my eyes, I'm talking about complete panic. I tried to move my mouth to scream for my mother. Couldn't move my lips. It was more like, like a bunch of mumbling. Like, I can't move my mouth to make the words. So I'm just making kind of grumbling noises. And I start kind of just starting to scream and not the words, no vocals was coming out. It was just like mumbling. I hear it telepathically in my head when this is happening. There's no need to worry. Everything is going to be okay. As I hear that in my head, one of the ones that were in front starts moving, but it's almost like it's not walking. I can say maybe light floating, almost like it just moved as if it was on a dolly. I didn't see his feet. I couldn't move my neck. So all I could kind of see is like half of the body coming towards me. And it had some kind of blue rod in its hand, and it was glowing. It wasn't really like bright luminescent, but it was glowing. It was a glowing rod, and I can see it like waving the rod over my mother's body. And I can't really turn my neck, so it's all peripheral vision at this point. I'm looking at the gray that's staring at me emotionless, and then I'm looking at another gray that's kind of like right next to my body, wanding my mother, which is in the queen size bed, sleeping next to my father, right next to me. As this is happening, I'm just complete panic mode. My heart is racing. I kind of pass out. And it felt like I blinked, but I know now that I passed out. But it felt like I just closed my eyes. And when I opened it, it's morning. And they're not in the room no more. It was definitely a loss of time. Woke up in the middle of the night, saw the blue rod. Open my eyes, it's morning. I tell my mom what happened immediately when I wake up out of bed. Mom, wake up. Oh, my God, this happened. It was. She kind of does what every mother would do. She entertains it a little bit. And then she kind of just says it's a bad dream. I'm trying to tell her, look, Mom, it's not a bad dream, please. And since she was the loving mother that she is, she said, okay, let's see if we can find some evidence. You know, let's walk around. At this time, I'm living in New York. I'm in the Boston Road, Allerton Avenue area of the Bronx. And it just finished snowing, I guess, either early that morning or like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm guessing, because nobody was in my backyard. But distinctly, I see kind of like these little marks going from the front of my house into my backyard. And then it stops in the middle of the yard and it doesn't go left, right, forward, back. It just little marks from my front of the door all the way to the middle of my yard. And the marks disappear. The rest is just powdered snow untouched. So my mom sees that and she goes, okay, that's kind of weird. But we never talk about it again. I bring it up, I guess, let's say maybe a couple of weeks later at breakfast as a child. And I'm like, hey, Mom, you know, we need to talk about what happened. I can't stop thinking about it, yada, yada, yada. And she tells me about an experience that she's had when she was a child, that she was playing around in the field in Puerto Rico with her two brothers. And she saw this UFO kind of like dancing in the sky, is the way she explains it to me. A silver disc kind of just danced, doing a little dance in the sky, is the way she used to tell me. And she says she sees it, and then all of a sudden she blacks out. And when she wakes up, she's kind of coming down from the sky, the way she explains it, and she's spinning. And then she hits the ground softly, and on the ground, she's spinning in a circular motion. Now, she tells me this after I've had my experiences, but I'm too young to kind of comprehend and put two and two together. Now, as you know, as an older adult, I can see that, okay, this has happened in my family before. This is a generational thing. And that's one of the signs of an abductee as the more and more I start researching. Now, throughout my early years, I guess my early teens, early high school days, I've always known that I was a little bit different, not because of the experience, only because I've always been able to sense energy. I don't know how to explain it, but I can walk into a room and know if a person has been fighting. I can walk into a room and know if somebody died in there, just because I get smells sometimes when there's evil. Like if there's like, let's say, an evil force in a room, let's just call it a demon, but I just say misplaced energy. But I get smells like rotten fish or like rotten eggs and this very eerie feeling. And I tend to feel the bad and the good. When there's something good in the room, I get the chill bumps all through my spine, the hair stand up. So I've always known early on in my childhood, in my early teens and stuff, that I kind of was a little empathic. I was able to feel people's emotions, feel energy fields, kind of see auras, like see little colors around people. But I thought everybody can do it because I never really talked about it to anybody. So the years go on. I start to notice little things. Like one time I went to a party, like I cut school. We all went to a party at a friend's house and we're watching a movie on the VHS. Everybody's sitting down in the living room. And I guess this girl was mad at me for some reason. And she pulls the VHS tape. And while I'm talking to somebody, she throws it directly at my face. And I turn around and I catch it like before it hits my face, not even like just instinctually, I catch it. And even to this day, I realize that my reflexes are a little bit, I don't want to say superhuman because that would make me, you know, I'm kind of humble. I don't want to say it's superhuman, but it definitely feels like I've always had some sort of training. Like I've always known how my reflexes were crazy. The best way I could explain is like that one scene in the movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, when they finally figure out that she's a spy too by dropping the bottle when she catches it really quick. It's like those reflexes. I've always had those really fast reflexes. So later on in my life, I started realizing that maybe there's been some kind of program I was involved in or some kind of enhancement that I might have within my body. I never really tell people about this because I never really knew how it tied in until later on in my life. So I always took it as I'm a ninja. I'm just super cool and I can do all these cool things and yada, yada, yada. So fast forward, nothing really happens extraterrestrial wise. I just know that I have these little gifts here and there, not really sharing them with people, kind of keeping it to myself because I don't want to be the crazy kid in school, or I don't want to be looked at as the psycho that thinks he has special powers or anything. Like, I've always kind of just, I use it for me and I don't tell nobody about it. Kind of flash forward to about, I would say my late 20s is when I had another experience. This is before my son was born. I'm laying down on the couch in my living room. And once again, I know this eerie feeling. There's somebody in my room and I'm having just like a nap. It's not nighttime, it's daytime. I'm in my living room, but here comes the sleep paralysis. Like I can't move again. I'm wiggling. I'm trying to wiggle my toes. I can't move my toes at all. None of this is happening. And I open my eyes and I look at the ceiling fan and there's like this black, the only way I could explain it is almost, it looked like a spider web. But I would say like Venom. If you would think of the character Venom from Spider-Man, the way he looks all liquidy black and stuff like that, it kind of was covering the whole ceiling fan and a majority of my ceiling. And from the midst of the darkness of that kind of spiderwebby portal looking thing, I see a gray sticking his bulbous head out the blackness looking at me again, the same gray kind of big head, big eyes, same features as when I was a kid, but it kind of notices that I'm noticing it and instantly pulls his head out into the darkness again. And the spider web sucks into the ceiling fan. Like if you look at a ceiling fan, you get that plate that all the wiring is on. It kind of looked like it sucked into the ceiling fan like that. So I saw that the minute the spider webby thingy kind of sucked into the ceiling fan, I automatically get pulled back out of my sleep paralysis and I'm able to move again. My heart's racing and I know I just had another experience. So it was pretty, you know, quick. It was just it sticking his head out, noticing me, putting his head back in, the portal kind of closing and going away. Later on that night, I'm sleeping in my bed this time. I'm with my wife, which was my girlfriend at the time, but she's my wife now. And I'm laying down in bed and I'm sleeping like on my side to where I'm not facing my wife. I'm facing away from my wife. So my back's to my wife. I'm facing the outside of my bed. And I, once again, here we go. The eerie feeling. I cannot move. The sleep paralysis. I'm completely frozen. I'm scared to open my eyes, but something is telling me, open your eyes. I open my eyes. The minute I do, there's a gray, I would say 2 inches away from my face. It was close enough that if I was able to move, I would just move my neck up a little bit and I could kiss it right on the mouth. It was almost nose to nose with me. And his eyes is piercing into my eyes. I know now that what it was doing was a brain scan. From my research later on in my life, I realized that that's kind of a memory scan or a brain scan. I guess the way that they connect to our optics is through the eyes or whatever. That's how they connect to our memory banks or whatever. But I open my eyes and sure enough, it's right in my face. And the fear alone kind of passes me out. Like, I'm just like, oh, my God. And I just pass out completely, wake up, and it's morning again. So after that experience, I can say that it's really, really scary for me to go to sleep now. I was able to deal with it when I was a kid. I never really had experiences. I was starting to think that I was just going to lead this normal kind of okay life. It wasn't going to happen to me again. But sure enough, I'm back to complete fear, can't sleep by myself. And my empath ability started really ramping up to the point where I can feel entities walking behind me. I'm taking a shower. I can feel things on the other side of the shower curtain. I have this thing or this embedded fear of mine where I'm scared of open closet doors. And I would think that maybe there's an unlocked memory inside of my brain, that maybe there was a gray in my closet one day or an entity in my closet one day that I can't remember. But I have like a lot of fears that I cannot account for. Like there's no reason for me to be scared of open closet doors that are dark on the other side. There's no reason for me to be scared of, you know, windows when they're open at night. Like at nighttime right now, like at night, if there's any blinds open and it's dark outside, all windows are closed, all blinds are shut, all curtains are closed. I am not able to look outside of any window if it's dark outside. And I'm assuming, once again, that there has to be a memory somewhere locked in my brain somewhere where there was probably a gray on the other side of a window. So I have these kind of fears that pop up in my brain that I just don't know around it. I mean, to the point where at one point in my life, I was hiding knives at different points of the house because I just never knew when I was going to be taken or when somebody was going to come in my room. So there would be a knife hidden in the bathroom behind the toilet. There would be a knife in a drawer next to my bed. I would have a knife underneath the couch. And obviously, I don't do that anymore because now I have, you know, two kids in the house. And the last thing I want is one of my babies to get cut or anything like that. But I had these fears for some reason after that happened. I just couldn't shake them. A couple of years go by, nothing really, you know, crazy happened. But when my firstborn turned 5, that's when the real kind of like, that's when it started getting kind of kooky for me. That started getting weird for me. Once my firstborn, I have two kids. Once my firstborn turned 5, one of the real memories is it kind of shakes me up just thinking about it right now. One of the memories I have is I'm walking down this hallway, and it's a very long white hallway, and I'm holding my son's hand. And we're both walking down this hallway. My son's 5. I'm holding his hand. And to the left of me, there's what I would call a tall gray or a tall white. This being's about 7.5 foot tall, 8 feet tall. It also looks like a gray, but the head is a tiny bit smaller. Leg is a little bit longer. It didn't have any shirt on, I would say shirt or any clothing. I could see its body, kind of a lighter gray than the grays that would come to get me when I was a kid or that I saw in my previous experiences. And it's a really skinny, really frail kind of being, but long fingers. I want to say four fingers on each, but I can't really remember too many of the details of the body. Just I know their fingers were really long because it was holding my hand while I was walking on the left side of me. And the gray on the right was holding my son's hand, and I was holding my son's hand. So we're all hand in hand together walking down this hallway. And I'm able to move, but I'm in some kind of hypnotic state for sure. Like, for sure, I'm okay with standing next to this gray. I'm not running. I'm not scared. So I have to be induced in some kind of hypnotic state. But I'm walking down this hallway. And one of the things that I remember about the hallway is I cannot figure out how it was lit. Like, I know that it was really bright, but I didn't see no lights, nowhere where light could. Like, there's no lights anywhere, but the hallway was lit. And it was very long. It looked like it went for miles. Like, it just looked like a very long hallway. And I'm looking up at this gray, and right when I look up to it, it kind of, like, moves his neck in, like, a very kind of alien way, I would say. Like, a very kind of, like, flimsy way, and it looks me directly in my face. And when it does that, I realize that I'm starting to come at the end of this hallway. Now, what's weird about this hallway is I can see humans, or what look like to be humans, in the distance, but they're wearing like white clothes, and almost the best way I can explain it is like radiation clothes, like radiation hazmat suits, but they're white and they don't really have the headpiece on. They're just like scrubs almost, but they look like hazmat suits. And there's this one kind of guy with a clipboard talking to another tall gray in the corner. And there's these two, I would say, military personnel. They definitely look human, and they definitely look like they were there for like protecting a door. It looked like military personnel standing on each side of the door. And I get to the front of the door, and they grab my five-year-old, and they walk him through this door. One of the tall whites walks my son into this door, and the door closes. I'm not even scared, by the way, which is weird to me. Thinking back on it all these years, it's like if I see an alien walking away with my son, I would try to get him. But I'm okay with this happening. And the other tall white grabs my hand and stands me in front of what I think is a two-way mirror. And the reason why I think it's a two-way mirror is because on the other side of this window, I can see what looks like to be a daycare. I can describe it as like when you go take, you know, a kid to a child's hospital, they have like murals on the wall of animals like walking in a line and butterflies fly. It's like a mural. It looks like the back wall is a mural. And in the middle of this, you know, there's toys on the floor. Like, it literally looks like a daycare or the lobby waiting room of a hospital, for a child's hospital. And I'm looking into this room from the outside of this two-way mirror, and I can see my son being escorted to sit with these other kids that are kind of like sitting on the floor. Now, what's weird about these kids that are sitting on the floor, I wouldn't say weird, but what's different about these kids that are sitting on the floor is that they're in some kind of scrubs almost. I would say like it looks like gauze, like a gauze type material, like a mesh type material, but it was white. And I wasn't able to, obviously you're not able to see, you know, what's underneath, but their hair was very thin, very like it wasn't full hair. And these kids were around the same age as my son, 5, 6 years old. And they look like they're around the same age. And my son sits with them, and they're all playing. They're playing with blocks. They're pushing cars towards each other and stuff like that. And I'm just like observing what I think to be these hybrid children playing with my son. And my son is okay with it. The kids are okay. There's nothing negative. I don't feel any negativity at all whatsoever. I just feel this overwhelming feeling that they're watching me watch them play for some reason. So I get escorted by the gray into the door, past the guards, and I get put into the same room. And obviously, you know, I cannot see outside where I was standing. I only see a mirror. I only see myself. So that's how I figured out it was a two-way. And I'm sitting in the middle of this room inside of a rocking chair. Like, well, not inside. I'm sitting on a rocking chair. And my kid and the hybrid kids are still playing off to the corner. I could see that. I could move. I got all my motor skills. And this other, I would say, some sort of hybrid entity walked into the room and gave me what I would think would be a hybrid baby. And I'm looking at this baby. It's like they hand them to me while I'm sitting in this rocking chair, and I'm looking at it, and it looks like, you know, human features, but I can tell that it's not human because the eyes were really big and really black, like a gray's eyes, but everything else was human on this baby. I mean, the hair obviously didn't have fair. I would say the hybrid would probably be about 6 months old, like as a baby, and it's handed to me, and they give me a bottle, and they kind of like they're telling me to feed this baby, and I'm putting the bottle into the mouth, and I can feel myself being observed. The only thing I'm feeling is they want to see if I'm bonding with the child. They want to see if I'm some sort of, if I give it love or if I'm caring for the child. And my instinct is kind of like, why are you giving, like, I'm confused. Like, I don't know why I have this baby in my hand. I don't know why you're giving me this bottle. I don't know who you are. I don't know where I am, but I'm not panicking. I'm in like a calm state, but I'm still kind of like, what's happening? Like, really confused. And I don't remember anything else from that scene, but all of a sudden, I'm not in my chair no more. My son is sleeping. I'm carrying my son. He's sleeping on my shoulder, and I'm in my driveway. I'm standing in my driveway, looking up, and there's a huge, and when I say huge, I mean, if you look up in the sky, it's blocking up half of the sky I'm looking at, and this is huge UFO spaceship craft, which I'm assuming just dropped me off from wherever I was, which I'm still thinking it could have been on ship or a base. I do not know at all, but I know that I'm looking at this huge spaceship hovering over my house at this point. And I'm kind of just looking at it, and it's the color of the spaceship. I would say if you look at a car that has like a flat matte black to it, it's almost like an unshiny black. That's what it looked like. Couldn't see no rivets or anything, but I did see kind of like segments in the ship to where there was light emanating out of it, a little bit of a haze coming off of it. And sure enough, it slowly floats off until it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and disappears. And I don't even remember walking back into my house. All I remember at that point is looking at the spaceship fly away. I open my eyes and boom, I'm waking up out of my bed. My son's in his bed. My son has no recollection of it, so I don't say anything about it. I just ask him, hey, did you have a dream last night or something? He's not telling me anything of a dream, like nothing happened. He doesn't remember anything. I keep it to myself. That was one of the longest and weirdest I've had.
If you're not from this planet and you walk among us, this song's for you.
Yeah, listen. I'ma do this for my hybrids. From a different world, looking to provide us with knowledge. Wishing that we all just stop the violence. They try to show us how to build, but we always demolish. Listen, I'm here to reach out to ya. You can ask me anything, I'll never lie to ya. If you came in from a rough, then I'ma ride for ya. If you're only spreading love, then I would die for ya. Huh, that's crazy, right? You can call it what you want, but do the reason we're getting blunt. It isn't time to play around and go to lunch. When the ops can destroy the whole planet in a month. I'm the kind of contactee that'll contact any kind being with a compact beam. Just to see the starship gleam in the middle of the night with my team. If you feel what I mean, then you might be a hybrid. Bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed. Here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. Try to take a minute to understand where you're finna. When you're living for the love of it, you get love in your spirit. I guess it's only human to sit and stew in your feelings. So I think we need a hybrid to come and show us the healing. Techniques used by the ancient ones through vibration. We can meditate for fun. Who would have thought a couple breaths could replace a gun? Let's get mindful. Let the grace overrun the streets till it reaches every mind that shines like me. I'm living for it, but I swear that I'm dying to see the hybrids coming forth with honesty. To let us know we're not alone in this odyssey. Tell a deep state that I need an apology. For suppressing technology and using taxes as an excuse for robbing me. If it bothers you just like it bothers me, then you might be a hybrid. Bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed. Here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Maybe I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge.
knowledge that humanity needs. I feel the connection to all of you. I wanna know if we share the same point of view. Die along with the dude. I'm bridging the gap, but instead of a bridge, it's a part of all. And I'm moving right through it to prove that I truly adore you. I may be a message to all of you. That humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs.
Peace and love, Lulu. I hope you confide in me or someone to help you on your quest to understand.
But and then I would say maybe a month after that experience, I have another experience in which I go to sleep, I wake up, and I'm not in my room. I'm in some sort of room, but I'm not in my actual room. And I'm being escorted once again by what looks to be a tall white. And I'm being brought into this really big room that looks almost like a auditorium for like a college lecture. Like it just looks like a lecture room, but the seats are like stadium seating. And there's kind of maybe three or four other humans, like people in there, but we're not talking to each other at all. And we're all sitting in different parts of this kind of auditorium like room. And, you know, this one lady is sitting maybe two chairs next to me, and we're actually conversing. She was telling me she was from Brooklyn. I was telling her I was from the Bronx. She was a chubbier lady, you know, in the 200 type of pounds. We was just conversing about regular stuff, almost like it was normal to just be in this auditorium type room, like it was cool, like I've been there before or whatever. And we're kind of talking, and I get this feeling to not talk anymore. And I look at what seems to be an archway door. It's definitely an archway. And there's this gray standing on one side of the door, kind of staring at us in this at this stadium-like seating. Everybody stops talking. There must have been like five people in the room. One really close to me that I was talking to, which is the lady from Brooklyn, and maybe two other people scattered that they're too far for me to say something to them anyway. But we all kind of like look forward, and I don't know how to explain this one, but this being, it's like a golden, it was a gold being. It's a being I've never seen before. The only way that I can explain his head, it almost moved like a flicker of a flame. Like if you look at a flame where you kind of flick a lighter and you keep the lighter on for a little while and kind of just move it slowly side to side, the way the flame moves is the way its head was moving. It looked like a sparkly golden like being with no bones. It didn't have bones because it moved like a jelly kind of. It moved fluid, like it was water-like. It just very fluid, very tall, and it walks into the room, and it walks to the front of this auditorium where this table is, and all I remember is just trying to look at his face and not really be able to see the face, just kind of like the flickery flame of the head and the shoulders and the body and the way it moved off fluent. And it kind of makes a hand gesture to this table that's at the front. And on top of this table, there's like this black box. I don't know what the box is. I don't even know if it was always in there when I walked in the room. It's just gesturing towards this black box. A hologram pops out of this box of the Earth. And Earth is spinning in a hologram-like kind of like, it's just spinning, it's rotating, you know, and it's in this hologram, and I'm looking at the hologram, and once again, it makes a gesture, and it points at the hologram, and you can see a meteor or something, like a big rock or something, hitting the Earth in this hologram, and the Earth kind of doing the whole like nuclear explosion type thing and the wave of fire going around the Earth once the meteor hits or whatever. And telepathically, I can hear in my brain, when this happens, you all have a job to do. I get this flash of me and a whole bunch of people standing side by side, looking up at the sky at this massive light, and we're all pointing our hands up. Like simultaneously, all of us, I'm talking about hundreds of people in this field, simultaneously, we all put our hands up, and then I wake up and I'm back in my bed. And I'm like, yo, that was kind of a very lucid, like I would, maybe it was a dream, maybe it was a memory, maybe I was there, I don't know, but it was definitely a lucid experience. I know that I was conscious and I was up when this was happening. I just know, because I've never really had a dream where I can feel things and smell things. And like, you could tell when a dream is a dream, and you could tell when it's more real, or there's something a lot more real happening. So after that experience, you know, things started to slow down a little bit. I'm a hip hop artist, so most of my life I've been, you know, rapping, and I always thought I was this thug rapper, and I'm rapping about negativity, mm-hmm. and yum, 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 and I'm this big and bad guy, and that's the way all my raps was because of my environment in which I grew up in. That's what I thought was the cool thing. I want to rap about, you know, drug dealing and stuff like that. I start to realize that it's just, I'm not doing, like, justice. Like, I started getting this overwhelming feeling that this is just not for me. Every opportunity that I get doing this kind of music just falls underneath me. It's almost like I was never meant to use my gift of music for the reason of lowering the vibration. So I've always had that feeling, but I continue on. And sure enough, I start getting into being scared again, and all these feelings of something's coming to get me. After a while, I just said, enough is enough. I need to find people that are like me. Once I start finding people that are like me, and I start talking to others that have had abduction experiences and stuff, I start realizing that, yeah, I'm on a different wavelength, and, you know, I'm not alone. And it starts hitting me that I need to do something a lot more positive with my music. So I started kind of making music, still not sharing it with people, but on my own, just started making music, no cursing. It went from less cursing to no cursing to talking about, you know, drugs, to talking about raising vibration, getting everybody into fifth density. And I'm starting to notice that the more I start making this kind of music, the more validation I'm getting for my spirit. Like my spirit is starting to align with, this is what I'm supposed to do. So flash forward a little bit, I start meditating more. I start, you know, switching up my diet, start doing everything that people start doing when they start raising their consciousness. So in a moment of meditation, I'm sitting in my studio and I'm meditating and, you know, I'm doing my thing. I get this telepathic connection to what I know now to be an insectoid being called O, which is what I call him. I call him O. And the reason why I know I get this connection is because I get this voice kind of in the middle of my meditation that goes, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to appear in your room, but I don't want you to look at me, because if you look at me, you're going to freak out. So I'm like, okay, here I go, having a conversation with myself like a crazy person. But I kind of go with the flow, and I kind of start asking mental questions like, okay, who are you? And it flashes this really big name. And it was like, it started with it was just too big. And I guess it kind of knew before I even knew that it was going to be too big to comprehend. So it tells me, just call me O, because that was the first letter in his name or in his symbology of the thing that it showed me in my head. I couldn't say what it was showing me. So it said, just call me O. And I said, you know what? It's freaking me out. I need to know if this is really happening. If you're going to appear, just appear. Like, you're not going to freak me out. And it instructs me to look in the corner of my room, but do not turn my head. It says, look in the corner of the room and look at me through your peripheral vision. The minute you even think about turning your head, I'll disappear. I won't be there anyway. So if you do want to see me, just keep looking in the corner. Like, it's giving me legit instructions. So once again, I'm, you know, just to make sure that it's not me giving myself these instructions, I'm going with the flow. I kind of do what it's telling me. I start looking in the corner, and sure enough, this haze starts appearing, this black mist kind of like thing starts appearing in my peripheral vision to the right of me. And it's huge. Like, it's big enough to where if it were to try to walk out of my room, it would have to duck like a lot to walk out. And I'm looking at this haze and I go, wow. Okay, I'm starting to realize that now there's an entity in my room that doesn't want me to look at it. And I really want to look at it. But I guess since it can hear my thoughts and it can read my mind, it knows when I'm about to turn. So I guess he was kind. I know now that he was trying to stop me from freaking out, because even he knew he looked crazy to a human. He would look very different to a human, and it might scare me, you know, to the point where I would really have some damage. So it starts talking to me again, and it goes, I look a little different. The next time you think about stepping on an insect, think about me. And it has a sense of humor. And I know that it has a sense of humor because I can feel the laughter within me. Like, I can feel myself having the joy that this entity is having, making fun of me stepping on a cockroach that might look like him. Like, pretty much, step on a cockroach and I'm going to show up in your room looking like a cockroach to come again. You know, like, it's making fun of me. But I know that it looks like an insect. So I'm like, okay, like, now it's starting to become real. I can start to feel the feelings of laughter within me. I know that these feelings are not coming from me. And I go, okay, if you're real and you're not me in my head, how did you get here? Like, what? And it tells me, and this is something I've never researched before, but it says subquantum kinetics. And it just completely, the haze falls out. It doesn't say goodbye, and it completely disconnects with me. And I'm like, just for giggles, I'm going to look up subquantum kinetics. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of research that a lot of people had done with subquantum kinetics and stuff. So there wasn't too much stuff I could find online. But one of the articles I did find online, subquantum kinetics had to do with, you know, a lot of things. And one of the things that it had to do with was, like, traveling and, you know, interstellar travel and stuff like that. So it kind of like answered my question, and it validated it for me, because I knew nothing about subquantum kinetics. I never even knew what quantum kinetics was or anything about subquantum kinetics. So I started doing my research, and after that, I get really into, you know, like, looking up, you know, the quantum effect, like the double split theory. I start looking up things that have to do with quantum physics and science. I get really like, I have to read every book on quantum kinetics and quantum theory and stuff like that. So I knew that that was a strong validation that I connected with an insectoid being called O. I'm pretty sure that he's a good entity and it's not a negative force, for sure. One of my last kind of abductions was a weird one. It was one like I've never felt before. And this one actually involved my whole family. My wife actually can vouch for me. She has the same missing time on this one. And this is the most interesting, in my opinion, because of the fact that it felt different than all my other experiences. Like, in one of the experiences that I've had, like, I can literally feel like the wall, being able, like, I can taste the wall in my mouth as I'm going through it. I could taste the trees as I'm going up it. So I know the feeling of being elevated off my bed and being taken through. Like, I've had that feeling before. So I know the difference between an abduction from an otherworldly being, or at least I like to think that I do, and an abduction that ain't from an otherworldly being. So on this night that this abduction occurred, my wife is getting ready to throw away the garbage. It's about 7 o'clock, excuse me. It's about 7 o'clock, and I can see my wife throwing away the garbage. She's walking out the house, and she leaves the front door open. She has the garbage bag in her hand, and she stops in the middle of her tracks, and she just looks up at the night sky, maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock. It's dark for sure. I could be wrong on time, but I just know that it's dark, but it just started becoming dark. She's just standing outside with this bag of garbage in her hand, and I'm looking at her without her noticing me, and she is completely frozen. Like, she is not moving. Her arm's not moving. Her neck is not moving, and she's just looking up. And I'm like, okay, I want to see how long she's going to be looking up just so I can make fun of her later. I have no thought that an abduction was going to happen. I had no thought that a UFO was going to appear. None of that stuff. I look at her, and I'm just staring at her. She's, I would say, maybe 3.5 to 5 minutes past, and she is completely frozen. She's not moving, nothing. And finally, I walk behind her, and I tap her on the shoulder, and I go, babe, what are you doing? And she goes, the stars are beautiful tonight, aren't they? And I go, babe, you've been standing here looking up at the sky for like 5 minutes, dude. Are you okay? And she's like, 5 minutes? I just looked up at the sky. 20 seconds tops, 30 seconds tops. That's weird to me. So I'm like, whoa, that was definitely 5 minutes. Like, you're telling me you don't remember standing outside, right? I'm watching you. You don't remember standing outside for 5 minutes looking up at those stars that you think are so beautiful? And she goes, no, it was 30 seconds tops. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. At that same time, she throws the garbage in the garbage can. We're both outside standing next to my car. And we look up, and in the horizon behind my neighbor's house, a lot of miles back, but it comes up behind my neighbor's house across the street, there's this golden light. The only way I could explain it is it looks like one of those lanterns, those Asian lanterns that you light up and they kind of float up into the sky or whatever. It looks like that. So that's what I say. I said, oh, look, babe, you see that light? It looks like one of those Asian lanterns, those Chinese lanterns that fly up. She goes, no, that's definitely not a Chinese lantern. And I go, why not? And she goes, because it stopped moving. A Chinese lantern don't have brakes. I mean, it would keep on rising up. It would keep on going up until it disappears. This, it stopped. And I'm like, okay, it's a helicopter then. It must be a helicopter coming towards us. And as I say that, I'm starting to notice it ain't no helicopter neither. It's a legit golden orb. It's like a big golden ship in the sky. It's just, I can't see any, like, it doesn't look metallic. It just looks like a golden glowing light. Almost if you were to see a helicopter flying directly towards you, it would be the spotlight from a distance. That's what it looks like, but it was more golden. And that's when we realize, holy shit, we're having a UFO experience. We're literally looking at a UFO right now. So instead of being scared, I get excited. My wife gets a little bit kind of like scared when it comes to this. But me, I live for it. At this point, I've done my research. This happened maybe about 2 years ago. So at this point, I'm really heavy into my research. I'm asking for experiences. I'm like, come on, bring it on. Like, so I'm super excited to see this UFO, and I grab my wife's hand and I go, babe, I'm going to try to connect. I'm going to try to connect. And she goes, okay. And I grab my wife's hand and I close my eyes and I say, with peace, love, and light, my name is Raphael, and I would like to say I love you and thank you for showing yourself to us. And if you can be so inclined, can you please move a little bit to the left or to the right so I know that I'm connected and that you hear me? And sure enough, the minute I say it, it moves a little bit to the left and it shifts a little bit to the right. And my excitement goes through the roof again. I go, oh my God, babe, it did what I told it to say in my head. I told it to move and it moved. Oh my God, I'm gonna do it again. And I say it again and I say, can you please shine for me a little brighter? And sure enough, it starts to pulsate a little bit and it gets a little brighter. It dims back down. It's a little brighter. It's back down. I'm like, oh my God, it's doing it. I'm connected. At this point, as I'm staring at this UFO, this unmarked, what it looks like a Durango. I would say a Dodge Durango, but it was black on black, black rims, black cars. The tints were so black in this car that I couldn't see the windshield. I couldn't see the side mirror. All I know is I see this black Durango start driving down my street, and it's being really creepy about it. It's like driving a little slow, but it's moving at a decent pace, but slow enough to where it feels like a drive-by or something like that. So it starts moving past us, and I kind of pay it no mind, but I'm looking at it, and then I keep looking at the UFO, and as this Durango crosses our path, this light occurs, and I don't know if it came from the car itself, but I'm assuming so. And the best way that I can explain it is like, if you ever been in a car and an unmarked police vehicle is behind you and you don't know that it's a police vehicle, and then they pull you over and they turn the lights on, it looked like those kind of flashes of light. And as it drives past us, I look at my wife and I go, babe, did you just see that light? And she goes, yeah, I totally just saw that light. And I was like, okay, I saw it too. But I pay it no mind. I kind of look at the Durango driving down the street, and it stops. It parks into a driveway like four houses down from me, and it reverses out of the driveway, and now the windshield is facing us, and it just stops there while we're looking at this UFO. I'm looking at this unmarked vehicle four houses down that I've never seen before. Don't even have license plates on it. That's how unmarked it was. And I'm looking at this UFO. So my wife gets freaked out from the Durango, and she's like, oh my God, Men in Black, you CIA or whatever it is. She gets scared because she's seen enough movies to make her freak out. Me, I'm so infatuated with this UFO, I am not going anywhere. So she goes inside, I stay outside, and sure enough, I see helicopters coming from everywhere. And when I mean everywhere, they surrounded this light. There was a helicopter coming from the left, a helicopter coming from the right. A helicopter flew over my house going towards it. Like literally around this light, there must have been 4 to 5 helicopters all floating in a circular motion facing this light. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And the light dims, and it disappears, almost like it just vanished. I didn't see it fly away. I didn't see it dart off. I didn't see anything. It just vanishes. And when it vanishes, I look at the Durango. It's still there. Now I'm kind of freaked out because these helicopters are in a circular motion where this UFO was. And I'm looking at these helicopters. There's no more UFO. The helicopter's still there. There's no more UFO. The Durango's still there. Now I'm getting a little freaked out. And I go inside. I talked to my wife for about an hour about what happened. It must have been like 8:30, 9 o'clock. My kids are playing in the other room. And we're talking about it. We're like, yo, this is crazy. This UFO, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God, we just had an experience. And she's like, this always happens to us, whatever, blah. Because at this time, she has had other experiences as well with her personal stuff. We both are avid, experiences. So we start talking about it. We're super excited about it. We want to put the kids to sleep. It's about 9 o'clock. So we all gather in the living room and we start watching Nacho Libre on Roku. And, we're all laughing. The kids fall asleep while watching Nacho. And the way the Roku works is if you leave it on for long enough, eventually it'll go to a black screen and the time would just start bouncing all around like a screensaver onto the screen. And, you know, I'm looking at the time, the kids are sleeping on the couch, and me and my wife are still talking a little bit about this UFO experience. It's about 10:35. I know this for a fact because I just told you the screen was, the number was bouncing on the screen. It was all over. Like, I could see the number. It was 10:35 for sure. 10:35 p.m. Nobody can tell me that it wasn't 10:35. I know that distinctly. All the lights are off in my house because the way we watch movies in the living room is we like to act like it's a movie theater. We have a 60-inch and, you know, we turn off all the lights and we turn the sound up really loud and whatever. So it's really dark in our house and I'm sitting in the love seat. My wife is sitting on the longer couch and on the corner, and both my kids are kind of like sleeping on the longer couch, kind of like my son has his head on my wife's lap. My other son is on the other edge of the house. Their legs are kind of touching together. And my wife hears a wiggle at the doorknob. And she goes, shh, shh, babe, do you hear that? I think somebody's trying to come into the house. And I go, babe, come on, stop, man. Nobody's trying to come into the house. And then I hear kind of a wiggle at the doorknob. And I'm getting goosebumps just talking about this right now, by the way. I remember the doorknob wiggling and she goes, babe, check the door. So obviously, man of the house, here I go. I have to be brave and I have to go to this doorknob. I walk to the doorknob, dude, and I black out. It's a complete, I don't remember anything. I just look into my hole. I just remember walking to the doorknob and looking into my hallway before I look outside to see who's trying to wiggle in my door. And I just remember a flash of white light. And then I just remember nothing after that. Like I wake up and my shirt is off. I'm getting goosebumps all over my body right now. My shirt is off and I'm in my back bathroom. And I'm like, oh my God. What just happened? And I don't know if you ever woke up out of anesthesia, if you ever had surgery, but there's the, like when your leg falls asleep, your whole body feels tingly, or your leg feels tingly, or when your arm falls asleep, your hand feels tingly, or whatever. I had that sensation all over my body, like a static electricity all over my body. Like I'm waking up out of anesthesia and I'm in the back bathroom and my shirt is off and I'm laying completely on my back with my arms spread out on this cold floor. And instinctually, the first thing I said, my kids, where are my kids? Because I remember going to the door, but I'm waking up without my shirt and I have clothes on and I'm waking up with my shirt off in the back bathroom. So I run from my back bathroom through my bedroom because it's my bedroom bathroom. Through my bedroom into the living room, and my wife is in the fetal position, sleeping uncomfortably. It looks like she's passed out uncomfortably in the love seat. My youngest son is underneath the kitchen table with a pillow and a blanket, sleeping underneath the kitchen table, which is the weird. He's never done that playing around. He's never done at all. He's never done this. My youngest son is underneath the kitchen table, perfectly fine, like just underneath his blanket, cuddled up with his teddy bear or whatever toy he had at the time, sleeping on a pillow. And my other son is laying on the couch where my wife was. But the weird thing was his feet are where the pillow is, where his head should be. And he's completely under the blanket. Like his whole body's completely under the blanket, but his feet are where his head's be, where his head is. And I automatically kind of like tap my wife on her knee, like, hello, wake up, hello, what just happened? And she's waking up like she's coming out of anesthesia or coming out, her body's tingling, and she goes, what's happened? What just happened? And I go, babe, hello, look at me. And I, at that point, I turn around and I look at the Roku again, and it's 1:30 in the morning. And I get goosebumps talking about this, but it's legit 1:30 in the morning. And I'm like, no. To me, I walk to the doorknob, close my eyes, opened them, and I'm in my back bathroom. It felt like a blink, like just a blink. And I'm in my back bathroom. I tell her, I say, babe, how did you even end up in the love sleep? Why would you sleep like this? You look crazy, scrunched up like this. And she goes, babe, all I remember is you walking to the door and that's it. Now, I don't know what happened throughout that night. I have no recollection, but I know that's 3 hours gone. 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30. That's 3 hours that I cannot call for, I cannot think about, but I'm assuming, and this is an assumption because I have no proof of this, but I'm assuming that this was a military abduction. Because it seems to me that whoever was in that Durango wanted to know if I have any information given to me from whatever UFO was in that sky. And everything in my body is telling me that that was a military abduction. And I can tell the difference because whenever I was abducted by an extraterrestrial, I never had the amnesia feel. I've never had the anesthesia feeling. I've never had the tingly feeling in my hands. It's always been, I see the entities, I wake up, it's morning. Like, it's always been like, this is the only time that I've been with missing time, and it felt like I was induced with something that put me to sleep. So after that experience, totally freaked out, started really doing my research, got into, started to tie things together. And sure enough, at this point, I can honestly call myself an experiencer. I'm glad to call myself an experiencer. I'm proud to be able to have the experiences. Yes, it has been scary, but I'm starting to feel as if it is more of a blessing than a burden because it allowed me to become a better musician, a better person, because now I can't make any other type of music but positive music, awakening music, high vibrational music. It's almost like I was forced on a path to kind of help raise the vibration of everybody in harder times. So I look at it more as a blessing now, but definitely wanted to share my story and these experiences with people. So for two reasons, really. Reason number one, so that way people don't have to feel like they're alone in this experience. It does happen to other people. I do suggest that you seek, a community of others like you, because it only got easier when I started to talk to other people like me. That's when it got easier, because sometimes talking to your relatives, like I love my family to death. They're going to hear this podcast because I'm going to post it everywhere. But, they're not the most supportive when it comes to the subject. And, everybody has their own belief systems, and I do respect their belief systems, and I do respect, their point of view on things. But this experience or life can get really, really lonely at times. So my suggestion is to definitely seek out a community of people for those that might feel alone. And the second reason I wanted to put my story out there is because I feel like in these times, there's a lot of people kind of still wondering what's out there in this vast universe. And I can honestly say that I don't know what's going on fully, but I do know that there's a lot more that we're not being told. And if we can all get together and share our stories, it can be a lot more easier for others to be able to deal with the PTSD that comes with this. Because trust me, when the best way I can explain it to a friend, because sometimes friends, some of my friends like to hear about it and some of them don't. But to those that do, I like to explain it to them like this. Imagine waking up in your room and you're tied up and there's three people with masks on, and they pick you up out of your bed and they throw you in the back of a van. They give you a needle and they put you to sleep, and then you wake up and you're back in your bed without the ties on. That would give anybody PTSD. And anybody would be scared to sleep at night, or to, a lot of fears come with this. So I do also want to put my story out there for those people that might be dealing with the negative effects of the abduction experience. I mean, not everybody goes through positive experiences or neutral. I would call it neutral because some of them were scary, but some of them were definitely positive experiences. But, you know, not to ramble off or go on a tangent or anything. Long story short, I wanted to share my story to help others say, you know, it's all right. Get it out there. So that's pretty much the end of my experiences. I also want to put out there that if there's anybody that would like to help with helping me unlock some of my memories, I'm totally open to that. And they could seek me out. I have a page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/callingallhybrids. And the reason why I called it that is because I believe that there's a lot of starseeds and other hybrid human aliens out there that might be on this planet that might be helping to raise the vibration as well. And I'm just trying to make a community of all these people to get together and find ways that we can help each other to kind of like get our message out there. So if you guys want to, you know, follow my story or come check out some of my music and stuff, feel free to go to soundcloud.com/listen2schizo, S-K-I-T-Z-O. And you could go on Facebook and check me out as well as facebook.com/callingallhybrids, and throw me a like and let me know if you got any experiences of your own. I love to hear experiences and I love to connect with people. So I want to say thank you to UFO Chronicles for allowing me the opportunity to put this out there. And I would also like to say that this is the first time that I have put my story out there on a, you know, in a public arena. So I would like to say UFO Chronicles for giving me the opportunity to do that as well. So thank you, my friend. And that's pretty much the end of what I can remember.
Put the link in the description as well so people can easily get hold of you and check out your Facebook and check out your music as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man.
Just going back briefly, Raphael, your last experience with your wife happened, what was it, only nine months ago?
Well, like I said, it gets dicey. To me, it felt like 9 months. But in talking to my wife before we've had this discussion, this interview, she told me it was more like 2 years. So I would say I would go with her description of 2 years more than my description of 9 months. My timeline gets really dicey because I tend to not write these things down, which she says I should start writing these things down. So, yeah, I would say more like 2 years ago.
But going back to the children and the nursery, it did seem that they were engaging your emotion towards the child.
That's what I'm getting. Almost like they were trying to kind of like let me know, hey, this child could be yours. I mean, I don't want to put it out there, but I do feel as if I do have children out there in the stars somewhere, but I don't know enough to be able to speak on that. But I do have the feeling as if, you know, I have, you know, relatives definitely that I have, you know, kids, hybrid kids that I've probably mixed DNA with. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a lot of my experience had to do with a hybridization program. I wouldn't be surprised.
Sure. And I know you've never had regression. Have you considered maybe for the future?
I totally am open to it. I totally want to do it. Those things could get dicey, so sure. It would have to be with the right person. But yeah, I'm totally open to it, and I totally invite it. I would love to have a regression. That would be amazing.
If any of the listeners who live in the Florida area have any experience with regression, drop me an email. Maybe we can set something up.
It would be amazing. Please do. Please do.
I think I do have a list of people that do practice. I'm not sure about Florida, though, so I'd have a look. I'll put it out there anyway on Twitter.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
It's all about networking. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, for real. I'm open to all of it because really, all jokes aside, I really feel as if I had a little bit more of my memories, I can really, you know, also help out a little bit more. Not only others, but also myself. I could fill in some of those gaps and I could find out what happened in those missing times. I would love to know what happened in those missing times for sure.
Exactly. It's the gaps and the missing time, which it is relevant and it is important.
It just feels like shattered glass to me. Like my memories definitely feel like shattered glass. It's like me on the floor trying to put together a mirror that is just a bunch of pieces. And I have a majority of the mirror, you know, there, but there's still a large portion that I would love to get access to. I would love it.
And put those pieces together again.
Yes, for sure. It feels amazing to put my story out there and share it, man, for real. It's still a little scary, but you know what? It's definitely resonating with my inner being. It definitely feels like it's what I was supposed to do, and I really feel a big relief, man. So once again, truly thank you for all your work, man. I truly do appreciate you, man. You're doing a great service to people out there, man. Really are, man.
Thanks, man. It's good to hear. And I really appreciate you coming on today, Raphael.
Thank you, man. For real, thank you. I've enjoyed being here.
Well, that's all we have time for today. If you would like to contact with Raphael and check out some of his music on SoundCloud, links are below in the description of this episode. A very special thank you to our sponsors for the show, and thank you for listening. I will be back next Monday. Stay safe, and remember, keep watching them skies.
Once before. years ago before this war, and I gave you your name. It's what I've gone so many miles to explain. You're the sun I never got to hold, and your name is Leopold. And at least before you killed me, you were told. Now I die at your side, and behold my only son as he cries. Your mother still waits for you. Please tell her that you killed me when this is through. She dreamed this most every night, and you can go and tell her that she was right. We both sat on her horse late at night. She always said it'd be you. Who would run me through and take my life? On a day I met my son and lost my wife. But that is why I came. Say hello, shake your hand, and tell you your name. Your name is Leopold. Leopold. Now, my son, take this land. Tell your mother I succeeded in my plan. I met my only son, and I gave to him my man and all my guns. You are leaving.